We like to think of the Jefferson Exchange as something of a buffet with lots of different items to choose from, and it turns out thinking of a buffet makes us hungry. So we feature a once-a-month food segment called Savor. Will Smith is our partner. He's a food stylist. He's well-versed in making food, its preparation, and making it look good on camera. And good to see you again, Will.
Good morning.
Every month, Will brings a topic, a recipe, and a guest. This month, we get to visit with two key figures in the Ashland restaurant, Amuse. Eric Brown is owner and chef. Good to see you, Eric.
And nice to be here. Thank you.
Charlie Hutchinson joins us as well, the chef de cuisine. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
So let's start with Will, because this is, you know, you're bringing the topic in, and we're talking about things that are, we're getting to the part of the season when it's getting a little harder to source things
definitely.
That are local.
Yeah. And this is a vegetable. It's you know, usually picked September to about April. So this is prime season. It also stores really well. If you keep dry in a cool place, like your drawers in the fridge, they can last up to about 4 more months in the fridge, which is great. But one of my favorite sort of oddball vegetables that I think a lot of people, at least in this country, really aren't that familiar with. So
we can put that back on.
I wanted to highlight something that's, there's plenty of it in the market, and a lot of people don't know what to do with it.
And it is celeriac we're talking about, which is like celery, celery we usually eat.
It's a cousin to the culinary celery that you would enjoy normally, but it is cultivated for that really large bulb. So sort of turnipy, sort of in texture. Peel it nicely, and you can use it in almost every single way that you would use a potato, but it has that sort of very clean celery flavor, which I just really love. Refreshing.
Let me start with the youngest guy in the room, because because I just want to ask about the expansion of what your knowledge of food gets to be over time. So Charlie, I mean, are you using things in dishes at Amuse that you've never even heard of, say, 15 years ago?
Celery root specifically is very, I mean, it's very old school, but that's the great thing about certain vegetables, certain combinations. You know, we need to take our direction from what's come before, and with the you know, mixing of cultures and this awareness of what used to be called fusion cuisine. I think it's just cuisine at this point. Old doesn't need to be boring. So, you know, the way we prepare celery root is usually, most often, just in a really good, rich puree. And that's all you need to do. You know, it's you add a little bit of fat in there, salt, acidity, and it really becomes something more than the components of it.
Eaten as is, or as part of something else?
Yeah, you can actually use it raw in salads. Mm-hmm. You can boil it, puree it. You can use it in soups and stews. Celery root remoulade is the recipe that we published today, and it's just a really it's funny, even though it's wintry and it's definitely earthy, it's something about it that's very light and bright and one of my favorite things for salads.
And so for the remoulade, it is raw? Just julienne.
It is julienne with some cornichons, some capers, and some good old-fashioned mayonnaise.
What does julienne actually mean? Does it just mean French fry shape, but smaller?
shoestring julienne is the thinnest of the little lines that you can do with food.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed with this recipe for the celery root, and again, this is the root ball. You've got these celery-looking stalks on top. And again, it's not the cuisine celery usually, but
no, it's you're going to use that root as the base for everything.
It looks kind of like a softball. Is that about how big and hard it
is? It is, and you know, it's amazing. You can actually do a dice and put it in a roasting pan and use it just like a roasted potato, roasted turnips. Excellent. A million things you can do with it.
You mentioned mayo in the recipe, and I managed to not bring that one piece of paper in here, but I noticed that homemade is best. So you make your own mayonnaise.
Oh, wait. I do it all the time. It's super easy. Food processor, I use a whole egg, a little Dijon mustard, a little vinegar, and about a cup of, you know, your favorite oil. It's excellent.
Get it on the food chat if you'd like to join us here on the Jefferson Exchange on our Savor segment. Will Smith is back, our regular partner for Savor. And from Amuse in Ashland, we have Eric Brown, the owner and chef, and Charlie Hutchinson, the chef de cuisine. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So if it's an issue for people, doing the home kitchen stuff, then how big an issue is it for restaurants this time of year to try to keep your stuff fresh and as local as possible?
Oh, well, we have it's a small menu that changes seasonally, so we like to keep things fresh that way. And by changing it, it just keeps us, a little more motivated and interested and keeps it all fresh tasting.
Talk about how much, because Charlie was making reference to the fact that we used to call it fusion, but now it's just, fusion cuisine. Now it's just cuisine. So how much has the business changed over the time that you've been in it, Eric Brown? I mean, from the time perhaps you opened Amuse, which has been, 15 years at least?
Yeah, it'll be 20 years in August.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, long time. There's been a lot of trends. Obviously, food from the past, the old school, French especially, methods stay with us forever, but I think people are eating lighter, trying to be healthier and maybe avoid less, have less cream and more olive oil. And celery root, vegetables in general are so good for you. It's nice to just keep them very simply prepared.
Have you gone through some trends in the business that you thought, well, this will never catch on, nobody will ever like want to cook like this for long, and it ended up having some staying power?
We've had some of the menu items maybe, that's part of it. It's sort of a hit and miss. You try to stay with the trends, but you need to experiment, and so it's a little risky. But
does that mean fondue's coming back?
Had some last weekend. So.
Yeah,
Randy seems excited too.
People they like the old school stuff, but they feel that they want to make it a little healthier. So I think that's just the trend that where things are going.
Which puts a lot of pressure on you guys in the kitchen, Charlie Hutchinson, then, because you're trying to keep up with the things that are coming to you from other places, but you got your customers coming to the door saying, hey, have you guys ever done this? And I imagine occasionally you're going to scratch your head and say, what was that again?
Mm-hmm. I think at in this market, at least, people know what they want, right. And it's the push from the kitchen to go the other way that is not often well received.
have you tried some things, put them on the specials menu and have people go, eh?
We try not to. Uh-huh. Our dining format is everyone when gets an amuse bouche as a matter of course when they order.
Which is literally entertain the mouth, right? Isn't that what that translates to?
Yeah. And so that is really where we can try out new things, flavor combinations, techniques, and it's a bite. So if it doesn't go over well, then it doesn't go over.
But this is where the wait staff, it sounds like, Eric, really comes into play, because they're going to check and say, how did you like that? And the responses will then come back to the kitchens. You can figure out what to do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a fine line. Sometimes people don't know that they're going to like something until they try it, and then they really enjoy it and are surprised. And yeah, we get feedback of all kinds, so we try to accommodate, but we also want to, train other people's palates a little bit and kind of broaden their horizons.
It's funny that it's the one ingredient that's really inexpensive, the vegetables. And I think when you do those like very simple, really rich purees, there's nothing much better to me than hot baby food. So it's good. So,
I'm sitting here with my head going, don't say baby food, don't say baby food. And you said baby food.
So, but it is that it's very comforting, that kind of food. It's excellent.
So how much training did either of you guys get? Let's give a little history there, then, how you started Amuse and what you had done before you got to that point, Eric.
Sure. I've been cooking professionally since I was 17. So, most of my life since I was a teenager. Grew up in Berkeley and never went to a formal school, but worked in a lot of restaurants and did a lot of traveling. which I think is important for especially a culinary education, but pretty much a general education. And Amuse was the first restaurant that my ex-partner, Jamie North, and I opened, 20 years ago in 2000. And
that was an interesting time in history to open a restaurant, I think, because the economy had just gone through the dot-com bubble. I think that had already burst by the time you would have opened up.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that you were opening a restaurant in a place that has a reputation for having the most restaurants per capita of any town its size in the country, Ashland, Oregon. So, I mean, was there anything daunting about that? You'd had enough experience, it sounds like, to know what you were doing.
No, it's funny. When we opened the restaurant, I wasn't like terrified, like, what are we getting ourselves into, which I, in hindsight, you know.
Should have been.
But I just felt relieved. It felt like, you know, that's my home. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Hutchinson, you were nodding in agreement when Eric was talking about having to travel to get to know something about food. How did that work in your life, and how did you get into this?
So I came to the culinary field later. I was 27 when I kind of made the decision to transition from the quote unquote real adult job to the dream job. I grew up overseas. My father was a foreign service officer, so starting from the time I was 4, I lived in China and West Africa up until I was 13. So the cultural exchanges that happen there are very fundamental to, you know, my outlook on life and my perspectives. And while in Benin is the country, a little tiny place in West Africa, a former French colony, there wasn't enough of a local economy to provide for entertainment opportunities. So all of the diplomatic exchanges happened in the diplomatic corps officers' houses. And we each had our own domestic staff with cooks who were all locals who had come up, you know, from the time they were 7, 8 years old doing stages.
That's the education right there.
Boy, no kidding.
I know.
But so are these like, you know, Benin cooks trying to make American cuisine for the American
French family? Cuisine. French cuisine. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so ours was a wonderful man. He was at the time in his 50s or 60s. His name was Augustin. And I have very, very fond memories of Augustin. Whenever he would purchase for dinners, there was always a cheese course, and he would always get a couple extra grams for little Charlie up in the upstairs watching TV while the adults did their business.
That's amazing.
And so that, I would imagine, is very formative.
Yeah.
So you got exposure then to West African cuisine as well. And mm-hmm. And where in China were you based?
We lived in Hong Kong, Taiwan, Beijing, and Shanghai.
Wow. So there's four basic cuisines right there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Of many.
I remember the first time having Sichuan. There was this wonderful Sichuanese restaurant across the Avenue of Heavenly Peace behind our apartment complex that my family would go to every Sunday. I love Sichuan cuisine. It's really, really wonderful.
The Avenue of Heavenly Peace, isn't that Tiananmen?
It's a very long road. Mm-hmm. But it does culminate in mm-hmm. Tiananmen Square.
So given all the influences you've had in your food preparation life, do you have to pull yourself back sometimes and say, "Hey, why don't we do? Oh, wait, but this is not exactly what the, you know, fits within the scheme of Amuse."
Again, we have different opportunities to express that. I spoke about Sichuan cuisine, the kind of central component to that is the Sichuan peppercorn, which is a little berry that has this wonderful numbing quality. I believe the Chinese word for it is ma. I don't speak Chinese, right. But I believe that that's what it is. And Eric actually was the first one who put it into We do a mignardise, which goes out after the meal as a final token of our appreciation for our customers. Eric put it in brittle, and caramel and Sichuan peppercorn is one of those. Right. It was an aha moment. So I doubt very much that people would be pleased with Sichuan cuisine at Amuse. Mm-hmm. But we have the amuse-bouche and the migs, which allow us our full creativity.
So brittle, you say, like peanut brittle.
Yeah, you could do it with nuts or without, and I try to, it's fun to incorporate some savory items in something sweet. I've got more of a savory tooth than a sweet tooth, so I've actually, for the last couple of years, been doing the pastry at Amuse and enjoying that a lot.
So we have, first of all, we got the confirmation from Randy that, yes, there's Ma Spice and La Spice as well. So there's that. I did have the brittle recently, and I meant to go back and ask what that was because I was at Amuse for the first time. Mm-hmm. Having lived in the Rogue Valley for 35 years, it's kind of odd timing, but there it was. We went to Amuse, and then Will said, hey, I'm bringing in the guys from Amuse. So that works out okay. This is Savor on the Jefferson Exchange. You're welcome to join our conversation about food. We're talking to the folks from Amuse. We have with us Eric Brown, who's the chef owner, Charlie Hutchinson, the chef de cuisine, and of course, Will Smith, our regular partner here on Savor. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I come back around again to the whole idea of trying to make sure that you bring in as fresh stuff as you can, as local stuff as you can. But I mean, as Will is indicating, okay, yeah, there's still stuff. There's celeriac, there's celery root. But I mean, are there ever times when you look to your produce supplier and go, there's just not much to work with here?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes, I mean, there's not really many new items in the wintertime. It's the usual things. But when you take things that people don't really know too much about, like celery root, and do different things with them and give them kind of expose new techniques, that keeps things fresh.
For that matter, is there a time of year that's the opposite, when there's so much bounty coming? I don't know if that would be October or something, when they're just like, there's just so many things we could make dishes out of.
Oh, yeah, September in particular, I think.
I think that's the beauty of what we're trying to do here is just to really tap in to what month it is and really like rediscover something that you maybe forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. If you hadn't brought in celeriac this month, was there a second choice that was on your mind for something to talk about in February?
I was going to do some squash. But it's been funny, you know. I've developed a reputation at being in the farmer's market. Uh-huh. It's like sort of swooping around, looking at people run, people turn their back on me. I think that interest of eating in season is what makes the year sort of fun. That you can't do what you do in July and February because you just can't. Mm-hmm. But you get to really enjoy each month's,
Yeah, you appreciate bounty. It that much more when
exactly.
you haven't had it all.
Exactly.
Instead of having the stuff out of cans or frozen or whatever from months ago. Yeah.
And you can get strawberries right now, but it's not going to be like a summer strawberry.
So let me ask about from the guys in the restaurant business directly. You work really hard to make sure that you make a good eating experience for people, but you're back there, in the kitchen. I mean, how do you get a sense of how much people are enjoying what you've done in the kitchen, in the dining room?
Well, I most of it is through our floor staff, and because they're really bringing out our dishes, they're selling to the to the customers. And being chefs, Charlie and I always look at when we have time to look over when the plates are coming back. Are they empty? Are they, we try to watch all the details. Sometimes we will come out and say hi to the customers and see how everything is.
All right. So if you get a plate back and all the stuff is shoved to one side and you can pretty much make out what else was on there and did get eaten, that's a clue to how the success was.
Yeah, we'll ask the wait staff exactly, what's going on. And I mean, sometimes it's you never know what to expect, really. I mean,
it is a bit of a mystery every night, isn't it? You put stuff out there, just hope people will eat it, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I pride myself on having consistency at our restaurant, and that's something I like to, when I go to other restaurants, I want to have it the at least, you know, similar experience that I had before, you know, or better.
Is there a signature, aside from the amuse-bouche every night, is there a signature dish for which Amuse is known?
I think there's several. Well, the truffle game hen is definitely a popular item that's always on in some form. We have a grilled ribeye that's been very well received. And then the warm chocolate cake has kind of been on since day one. So that's 20 years.
Too.
Oh, yeah, the beignets for sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had the beignets. Those are excellent. Yeah, that was good stuff. So I wanted to ask you before we go about celeriac again, Will, because we've been talking about it prepared cold, and the remoulade is a salad kind of thing, but it can also sub for potato, I noticed in your notes.
Yeah, and that's sort of the beauty. It really takes on, you know, if you roast it, it's going to be more earthy and sweeter. If you use it raw, it has this really, I don't know, I love it. It's a very clean, crispy vegetable for salads, and then if you puree them like you would for a vegetable puree, it's this very rich, very sort of almost buttery celery flavor. It's delicious.
The dish is in the room. We haven't eaten it, but I could just, every time we talk to Will, though, there's this great sense of like, wow, it's time to eat, isn't it?
We're getting hungry.
Yeah. I want to ask you just a couple seconds before we go, though. I mean, you mentioned going to the farmer's markets and looking for stuff. Do you ever really go to the produce section at a major, like a supermarket?
Sure, sure, mm-hmm. Sure. I like to see what the devil's up to.
That was about what I was looking for.
Right.
Will Smith, always good to have you here for our Savers segment. I want to thank Eric Brown, the owner and chef, and Charlie Hutchinson, the chef de cuisine at Amuse, for joining us as well. Good to have another food chat here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. We have Bruce Campbell coming up in hour number two. Stay tuned.